straight into scripture. We're going to be reading in Deuteronomy chapter 11, chapter 11, verses 10 through 17 is where I'm going to be reading. If I could get a couple of amens when I'm, that was a good bit of them. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get started because I heard enough amens. It reads, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it, it is not the land of Egypt from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy feet and as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year until even the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you to this day, to love the Lord your God, and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that they mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and the land yield no fruit, and lest ye perish from off the good land which the Lord giveth you." You may be seated. So I know that was a lot of reading, but it's going to all tie into the end of my lesson, and it'll all make sense. So I'm going to start off by prefacing this and saying, a lot of you may know me for who it is that you see in the body. You may see me smiling a lot, laughing a lot, making a lot of jokes, trying to make people laugh, or be that bubbly personality person, because that's oftentimes what I get characterized as, which is not a problem, because that's who I am. However, the Bible also says that it's important to know those that you labor amongst. So originally, I had typed up all these fancy, nice little words and had scriptures to combat anything that y'all might have said to me afterwards. However, the Lord said not to do that. And I was scared. I ain't gonna lie. I got here, I was nervous all day because I've been trying to prepare my lesson. I was like, Lord, I don't know if I'm really ready to teach in front of the church. I ain't done this in a minute. It's been a long time. But that was the quickest excuse that I could have made in my own personal mind and from my perspective of the situation. So in me talking about myself today, I want to take you guys back, for those of you who don't know, and tell you a little bit about my testimony. Amen. All right. So my testimony starts off, I don't even know where to begin. I'm going to go all the way back for you. So I was about 8 years old. And at the age of 8, I finally had discovered, well, I knew up until that point, but I had discovered that my biological mom lived in the same exact state that I had lived in, and I had never got to know or have a relationship or build a relationship with my biological mother. She was always in my life, but not in my life. So I never had that physical presence of her being there. However, God blessed me, obviously, with my wonderful mother, as you all know, Sister Jay. Which I'm beyond grateful for and thankful for. And I'm going to preface what I'm going to say following by saying that God already knew what it was that I would need before I could ever ask for it or need it. Okay? So just remember that I said that, and then we'll continue on. So at the young age of 8 years old, I decided that it would be a good idea for me to go and visit my biological mother. And the time in which I decided that I would like to go visit my biological mother, my dad and my mom got on the phone to communicate with her. They set up a trip, and it was supposed to be a one-night stay, and I was going to be there for 24 hours, and I was supposed to return home. Lo and behold to me, I didn't know that she had given my mom and dad a false address. So the address in which she lived was not the address in which she actually lived. And turns out she lived on the complete opposite side of town. So some of y'all is probably like, oh, no, you know what I'm saying? I know if I had a kid and somebody just dipped off of my kid, I'd be tripping. And that's exactly what happened with my dad and a lot of my family. Honestly, it was a rough time, I'm sure, for them. However, the thing that has always happened with this story is I didn't realize it until I was putting this lesson together, but you guys have heard my story, but it's never been from me. You guys have heard the perspective of my story from everyone else. But God wanted me to share my story of what it was like being in my shoes in that moment, not to edify what it is that I've been through or to say that I'm better or greater than anyone, because that's not the case at all. but simply so you can know better who it is that you're laboring amongst, so that when God is taking us through things and going to places, that you know how to pray for one another and how to fast with one another and how to fight with one another and how you could be a better aid. If you guys remember back years ago, Brother Jonathan taught the lesson on the personalities disc. And for a minute, we was really into it and everything, and we were all studying it, trying to figure out how we could intermingle and coexist with one another the best possible way. But that kind of quickly dissipated. So going back to my story, as my mom had given my parents a falsified address, the quick 24-hour trip instantly turned to 3 months. But obviously, as you all know, 3 months' time is not just a quick and it's over. It's a long, drawn-out process. So during those 3 months, lo and behold, I'm an 8-year-old kid. I don't know what's going on. My mom is asking me all these questions about how life was at home with my dad. All of these questions like, oh, was he ever aggressive? Was he ever mean to you? Did he ever say anything or rub you the wrong way? Or did he ever do any of these things? And so on and so forth. Kind of like a little prick just to see what it was that I was feeling and where I was at, right? And she took that information and it was taken to the court system. And the things in which I had said about my dad were the same and very things in which the court systems was trying to charge my dad for. So during this entire time that all of this is going on, I have no idea that my dad is potentially facing a restraining order and that if he comes within 100 feet of me that he will be locked away for 15 plus years for violating a restraining order that I didn't know was in effect, simply based off of the things that I said, based off of the feelings that I had going into that situation. So as time goes on and time continues, obviously it's a long 3 months. Throughout that time, I had no idea what it was that God was trying to teach me, what it was that God was trying to show me, where it was that I was even at with God, because quite frank, at that point in my life, that was the first time that I had ever experienced or seen anything other than the things of God that I can remember. And I say that because I had been up in church, I had been in church from the age of 4 years old, roughly, until 8 years old, up until that point, and I had been involved in and around the things of God. I had already been baptized. I had already been filled with the Holy Ghost. Those two things were already taken care of. I knew the truth. I knew what the Bible had said for the basic parts of it and what it was that I was supposed to do. I knew that I needed to honor what it was that my mom and dad had said. I knew what was good and I knew what wasn't good, the very basics at least. And during this time in which I was kidnapped, I instantly forgot all of those things, it seemed. Instantly. I quickly adapted to the situation in which I was in. I was in a worldly situation from a Christian background. I instantly became like the world. My stepbrothers are watching pornography. Oh, great. I'd never seen this before. It's new and it's enticing to me. I'm a young man. Oh, my brothers are smoking weed. I've never done this before. But it's new. It's enticing to me. And you're telling me it'll make me not feel the feelings that I'm feeling now, and it'll help me to go forward. So as I mentioned that, I actually want to stop a little bit. And I want to go a little more into detail about that, because at the ripe age of 9 years old, I want to say it was, I had made the choice, to smoke weed with my brother. Now, mind you, I'm going to tell you this story here, and a lot of people will tell you about peer pressure and how that could affect you and the effects of peer pressure and how that may look. And in school, they oftentimes preach about how peer pressure is, do it, do it, do it. And your peers trying to coerce you into doing something. But the thing that people often don't realize about peer pressure is it can also be physical. And so my peers, aka my brothers around me at the time, didn't realize or understand what it was that I was going through because they don't understand or know what it was that I was going through because they're of the carnal and of the flesh. They don't have an understanding of the things of the spirit. So as I continue to go on, I became and adapted to what it was the flesh and the carnal mind was. And I became just like them. So as I go on and they hold this, it was at the time a little aluminum can with some weed in it and telling me to smoke it, and I wouldn't. And every time that I would say no, my brothers would just start punching me. And as a little 9-year-old boy, I mean, my brothers are 5 years older than me. So it's not like the punch is just, no, stop. No, I mean, I'm for real getting beat up. Like, I'm dang near getting jumped. I felt like I was about to be a part of a gang that I wasn't even jumped into. But that's what was happening. And each and every time that I would say no, it seemed as though it got more and more violent until eventually I was just like, forget it. It ain't like it's my first time. Let me just go ahead and figure it out. So I hit it. They put it up to my lip. I hit it proudly. Didn't care. From that moment, I thought everything was good. I felt good in that moment. It was real fun. I was real giggly. 15 minutes that lasted. 15 minutes. 15 minutes that happiness lasted. And right after that 15 minutes of happiness, there's a cop pulling up on me at about 100 miles an hour, doing donuts in a parking lot trying to come and get me. I'm 9 years old. So I stop. And instantly, for those of you who know, when you smoke weed, you know, you get a little paranoid, your heart start beating different, you kind of breathe a little funny, all that kind of stuff. So I start freaking out. My heart's beating out of my chest. I'm sitting there, I'm shaking uncontrollably. I have no idea what's about to happen. And in my mind, this is it, I'm going to jail. Because all I know is you do bad things, the cops come, you're going to jail. I'm a 9-year-old kid. However, the things that I weren't thinking of in that moment was that spirit man that I left behind when I was 8 years old. And all of the things in which my spirit man was having to go through while I was carnally walking life out. And so as I continued to go on and, you know, I was sitting there, I was high, the cops come, they go through their whole little process, asking our names, asking our parents' names, asking for phone numbers, asking for addresses of where everybody lives, and I mean, they was on it. I'm sitting there, I'm arrested, and I'm in the back of a cop car. They take me to my mom and, or, well, it wasn't my dad's house because I probably wouldn't have been here if that was the case, but it was my mom's house. And I just remember that I thanked God in the back of the cop car that the cop was not willing to call my actual dad because I was not at his house. Because I knew in my mind that if my dad found out about it, that he would be so disappointed and that would be it. And that to me was scarier than to just tell him, hey, I messed up. That's my truth, right? So as time continues on, I'm sitting in the back of this cop car. Time goes on. We're sitting there. We're high, whatever, whatever, right? I get out the car. The officer had talked to my stepdad and my mom. I go into the house, and I start getting sick. It's like the moment I walked into the house, all of a sudden, I don't feel good. I was just fine outside. I was laughing. I was having a good time. My brother had more weed. We was talking about smoking tomorrow. But when I got in the house, I didn't feel good. I walk into their house, I look at my stepdad, and I just see him just, boom, he just took off, stole on my stepbrother. You just see my stepbrother just fold, just like that, and falls, collapses on the floor, trying to gasp for breath. I get even more scared. And then at this point, now I'm throwing up, because I'm so terrified, I don't even know what's going on. At this point, they know I'm super, super high, because I can't even keep my actual natural physical emotions in check and in line. So time goes on, all that happens. I end up having to become Cinderella. I was scrubbing baseboards with toothbrushes and scrubbing blinds with everything under the sun that shouldn't have been cleaning blinds, to be real. But as I continue going on into my testimony, it didn't stop there with that one instance. Weed became something to me that I would go to escape. Because at a young age, I learned that it was an escape. At a young age, it was something that I went to aid myself and to make me feel better and not feel all of the feelings and the things that I was going through. Because not only is it hard to go through and feel things at such a young age and to go through some of these things, but even further, forgetting age, it's hard to go through some things that we go through in life. We go through some difficult things. We go through some difficult times. We go through some difficult situations. And sometimes we don't want to feel it. And I'm going to take it a step further and even say this. The world doesn't tell men that it's okay to feel. In fact, the world teaches men that it's not okay to feel. And so at a very young age, this is what's instilled into men's head, is that it's not okay to feel anything. That it's not okay to have a process of emotions. That it's not okay to want to cry. That it's not okay to be angry and upset about stuff. And so oftentimes it leads to men being angry or quiet and dealing with depression, or quiet and dealing with bitterness of all of the hurt that they've had to go through in the world. And then it becomes this raging ball of fire that a man is suppressing. And as my Auntie Dawn taught me a lesson when I was a kid, a teapot with water that's sitting on a hot eye it's guaranteed to boil over if you leave it on that eye. And so it can't stay down. But I thought because I was always high or because I was always doing my own thing and that I wasn't feeling any of it, that I was good because I didn't have to feel it. So mind you, the struggle went on up into my adult life now even. It's still a temptation. It's still a battle. It's still something that I have to fight and try my best absolutely 24/7 to resist, because I'm not going to say that I've made it completely out of the woodworks of that hurt that I had when I was a child. But I know that where God is taking me, that childhood hurt that I carried and that I had, it has to be shed off of me so that I continue to go. Because where God is trying to take me, I can't take the things of the carnal or the flesh or the ways that things have made me feel into where it is that God is trying to take me into life. So continuing on into my testimony and my story, we're going to skip past all of that, the like middle scenes and all that good stuff, because that was one of the pivoting points in my life, I would say, that would kind of develop a person or change somebody's character when you go through those kinds of things, right? So as I kind of got older, it was just always the battle with just smoking weed or drinking or just trying to fit in because I wanted to be accepted. That was a big thing for me. It's when I didn't smoke weed with my brothers, then I couldn't hang out with them. If I didn't drink with my brothers, then I couldn't play the game with them. If I didn't do what they were doing, then I couldn't be around them. And for me, that was very hard as a child because I already felt as though I had been taken from everything that I had and that I had known. And to be uprooted and taken out of everything that I had known or had, to me, it was very hard. And what the doctors, see how I prefaced the doctors, shout out Deneen, the doctors tried to tell me is that I struggled with abandonment issues and that that would be a problem that I would struggle with for the remainder of my life. But what God said was something completely different. And I know that to this day, I won't continue to struggle with abandonment going forward. I know that God has already gone before me and that there's people that are in my corner. There's people that are fighting with me. There's people who want the best for me. God has put people in my life who are wanting to seek me to do better or to see me do better, excuse me. And I know that God has me on the potter's wheel ultimately to make the best piece of pottery that he can make as long as I'm willing and willing to be molded and shaped on the potter's will. Amen. So fast forwarding into my current time and my adulthood life now where JZL currently stands, I stood up here, or not necessarily up here, but in the sanctuary, and I told you guys a testimony roughly 6 months ago, a little over 6 months ago, and I told you guys that I had got a word, and the word that I had gotten was that God was going to make me a supervisor and or a manager, and that God told me to expect great things in the year. And originally, when that was the words that had been given to me, I was pumped. Boy, I was ecstatic. I was worshiping like nobody's business. I was in the truth. I was in the back. I was like, I know this is true, God. I know you got me. I know you got me. And every single day, I made it a point to come in here, to give my best in worship, to give my best in prayer, and to do my absolute best to show God that I was thankful for the works in which he was doing in my life, regardless at that time. But I'm going to tell you again, just as quick as it was for me to forget all of the good that God had did in my life in the beginning and all of the Christian things that I had learned and the developing stages or the milk, as we call it, of the word, as I was drinking and eating of the milk, I quickly forgot it and went right to the world. Well, that same exact thing happened here in 2023. Same exact thing. Only this time it was different. The reason that I say this time it was different is because when I was going into the situation this time, obviously I had God and I carried God into the situation with me, and God had given me a word and he had gone before me, and I was like, all right, Lord, you've already set the path before me. I know you're going to go before me. I know you got me. You've already promised great things this year. You've already promised that I'm going to be a supervisor or a manager, so I know you got this and you're going to make it happen. But when I went back to work and I went to the actual interview, and it was the time or the things of the flesh that I had to hear and see, and I didn't get an interview. Y'all remember that? Yeah. When I didn't get an interview, I was upset. Why was I upset? Because they didn't even, I was upset because the way that they went about the situation. I was upset in my flesh because you wasted my time, and this is how I felt in my flesh. So I'm not telling y'all it's right. This is how I felt in my flesh, though. I felt as though you wasted my time. You call me in here for a meeting or an interview, and the first words that you say to me is, I didn't want to make you feel as though you didn't have the time or that you didn't have us around for you, but we don't feel as though you're qualified. All right. I didn't laugh then. I was very upset. Honestly, still have a little bit of issues I'm working out with it, if I'm real. But the thing that I was able to realize through my beautiful Auntie Dawn over here, through that situation, is I was looking at it from the flesh. I was upset because the person, the flesh, told me I was not qualified. I was upset at the situation and the way that it looked in my flesh. But the thing is, I wasn't looking at what it was that God was doing on the back end. I'm going to get into that, though. So I was told I wasn't qualified. That was the interview process. Following me interviewing and that being the interview process, what I was told next, not asked, what I was told is that I would be fulfilling the orders and that I would be the fill-in in the meantime. That's a very difficult task to hear. Somebody wants you to do something, but they don't want to pay you for the things that they're asking you to do. Mind you, the specific task that they're asking you to do is something that's a job already. Very difficult. But then if you look at the things that God's asking us to do we do them all the time? Rather we have a title or not, rather he's blessing us or not, do we do it? We don't, right? And so that was something that God ended up having to work out and show me in that situation. But as time continued on, I was still upset and in my flesh and angry with the person who told me I wasn't qualified. And so I continued to go to work, and I was upset, and I was angry at work, and I honestly hated my job for a little bit. I would go there, and I would just show up. I was just there. I was just there. I was a physical body that was just there. All of the great things that I had talked about that God was doing in my life and that he had planned for my life, even going into applying for that supervisor job, all had dissipated and walked out the door with me the moment that I heard that I wasn't qualified. And now I'm going to go into making this all make sense and how God has already gone before me, okay? So as you heard, I told you guys a lot about my flesh and where things were coming from with me personally, how I felt. There was a reason that I did that. And the reason that I did that is because me personally, when I'm sitting there walking through or going through things with God, I oftentimes take a personal look at it, or I personalize things and I internalize them. So someone could tell me, oh, hey, you know, I need you to do this and I need you to be better here. And depending upon the person that it's coming from, that might hurt me a lot more than if it was just a regular person on the street. But the reason that it affects me more is because I have a visual, or I'm looking at the carnal. I'm looking at the flesh and I'm expecting a result, or I'm demanding something from the flesh, and it's too great of an expectation to put on flesh, because flesh was never made to exceed or deliver to your expectations. God was, which is why he put himself in the place to die for our sins, because he knew he was worthy, and we're not. Because if we could have been worthy, then we would have been on the cross, but we're not. That's why he died, so that we can live. Okay? So as we continue going on into that, I was going to read the notes, but I felt like God told me to stop, so I'm sorry. I got a little lost. As I continue on into that, though, what I was looking at in the flesh when I was growing up as a child in that situation that I was in was the hurt that my biological mother was causing me. What I identified with and what I claimed and what I agreed with in my life and what I agreed with in my life was that I had abandonment issues. I walked around saying that. I agreed with what it was that the doctor said that I would struggle with. I agree with what it was that the carnal person spoke over or into my life. And from that point forward, I didn't know or realize, but that would become a battle, because there's a lot of power that you have within your tongue and the things in which you say. There's a lot of power there. So as time continues on, I made a lot of judgments about my mom. A lot. Because to me, how could you, as a grown woman, allow an 8-year-old individual who knows that they don't know their mom, but only know their dad, how could you be willing and okay to take me from everything that I've known? How could you be willing and okay to uproot me out of everything that I had and pluck that and take that and move me over here. As a child, I asked my mom, how is it possible to be okay leaving your child and then taking the moment that you do regain a relationship with them? Because in my mind and my flesh, you can't build a relationship with someone based off of that. Because these principles that I'm building relationships off of are based off of things that I've learned in the flesh or in the carnal. But that was the thing that I was wrong in the entire time. And so I'm gonna point back out to my work situation. I was upset because how could you see how hard I've worked for the last year and tell me I'm not qualified? I was upset because how could you see how I'm saying me? You guys hear that, right? Okay. I was upset because how could you not see all of the hard work I've done? How could you not see all of the things that I was willing to bring to you on this paper? How could you not be willing to hear what it was that I was even going to say? How is that? And so as I begin to think about these things or look at these situations as I'm praying over this lesson, what God started to show me was the issue in all of those situations was not the hurt or what the person was saying or what it was that I was going through. But the issue that I was having in that was I was walking into situations expecting spiritual things or spiritual results with a carnal mindset or a carnal process of the steps to get there. You can't go to God expecting God to move on your behalf when everything that you're taking to him is you. If it's all about me, 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 God, this person hurt me. God, this person did that to me. God, they told me I'm not qualified. If it's only always all about you and that's all you can see is everything about you or of the flesh, God cannot move on your behalf because everything that everyone will see from that point forward in your life and all of the fruit that will come from the situation is going to be of the flesh. And God cannot bless something of the flesh when it's edifying the flesh because God said there will be nobody above him, before him, or after him. That's God. And so the issue is we walk into these situations with a carnal or a fleshly mindset, and we're looking at all of these things in which we're going through from a fleshly or a carnal mindset. The reason that your supervisor looks at you and says, oh, Stephanie, you're going through a lot. Yes, because in the word here, right here, let me read it for you, sister. It says, a land which the Lord thy God careth for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. The reason in which they're always looking at you and there's always something going on is because if there wasn't always something going on in your life, then they couldn't see the fruit of God and what God is doing in your life. They couldn't see what it is that God is doing and where God is going in your life if it was all about Stephanie. If you went into work and all it consisted of is, oh, my mom has cancer is what the doctor said. Oh, this has happened to me. Oh, my brother is struggling here. Oh, my mom is struggling here. Oh, my dad is struggling here. My family is struggling here. All they're going to see is the things that you brought to the workplace or that you sat there and talked about in the workplace. But instead, what you continue to do is give it to God. Tell them, oh, this is what God has done in my life. Oh, this is where God has taken me. Yes, I'm going through a lot. Yes, it hurts. Yes, God has me at a place where I don't understand. Yes, God has me at a place where I don't know everything. Yes, God has me in this place, and it may seem and look like a lot to you because you're looking at it from the flesh and from the carnal, but the place in which I'm going and the place in where I'm headed, I can't see things in the carnal. I can't see things of the flesh. I have to look at things in the spirit because where God is taking us, you're not going to be able to look at the things in the flesh. And so I'm going to take it even further and go back to my own situation, right? Because as I'm going into this, I leave that situation, and I'm continuing to try my absolute best. Mind you, I'm telling all my coworkers, and Whitney will tell you, I'm telling all my coworkers in there, I'm upset. I don't like this place. They told me I ain't qualified. Forget them. I'm going to show them how qualified I am. But that's the problem right there. The problem isn't that I was working or willing to show them that I'm qualified. The problem is that I felt as though I had to prove myself to them to show them that I'm qualified for something. Because the thing is, God already gave me a blessing. He already gave me a word. He's already gone before me. All I have to do is just continue to walk in what it is that he's asking of me and to continue to go where it is that he's asking me to go. I have to continue to decrease and to continue to let God increase and continue to lay my flesh down and continue to pick my spirit up. I have to continue to lay the things that I feel down, and I have to continue to pick the cross up in the way that God feels about those people and about that situation, and I have to continue to move forward with the things of God and not the things of my carnal, fleshly mind. So as I continue to depart from work, and I'm walking, and I'm doing all of these things, everything for me, it just seems, as Sister Stephanie said, I'm like, Lord, I can't catch a break. I'm crying every single day. I feel like a punk because I'm crying all the time. I don't understand why it is my emotions are all out of control and out of whack. You have me crying uncontrollably. I'm crying at work in front of people that I don't even cry in front of because I don't even cry in front of my family half the time, but you got me up in here crying at work. That's what I told God. I ain't gonna lie. I can laugh about it now. And God said, you are looking at it as though you're crying and you're weak. You are looking at it as though you're going through so much. But the thing is, I've already gone before you. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And at first I was like, oh, I know that. I was back there worshiping again. Let me tell you, I was back there like, yeah, the Lord's already gone before me. Thank you, Lord. I know you got me. You got my situation. And I was able to help snap my mindset back because I continued to go to God to continue to let him lead and instruct me. I continued to seek God for direction. I continued to seek God for my next steps. And instead of looking at it from my fleshly perspective or what it was that JZL could do or change about the situation, I continued to seek God. And when I felt weak or I felt like I couldn't do it, and even when I didn't want to sit there and tell people that I felt weak and couldn't do it, God got me crying to Auntie Don and Josiah telling them that I can't do it. But the thing is, this is where God is. I was going to say good, but, oh, Janice ain't on the call. I was going to say God is good, but Janice won't let me say God is good. Janice say God is, chicken is good, God is great. If y'all ever hear me say that, that's where I get it from. But God is great. Anyway, I'm sorry, I got distracted. But God is so great because the thing is, going in or coming out of that situation, the problem is never about me wanting to, I forgot where I was going. Dang, Lord, help. Start praying, please. Yeah. Jesus. All right. There we go. Amen. As I was continuing to just go on at work, though, I remember that I was looking at things from the flesh, and I was upset, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm crying. This is weak. And every single time that I felt as though I was looking at things from my flesh, I felt as though God would either send someone or have me talking to somebody, and it was like, almost like that instant switch that I had from the things of God into the world. It was like the things of the world just snapped back into the things of God because God told me in that moment, he's like, where I'm trying to take you, my son, the things of the flesh can't come with you. And I was like, all right, I'll take that. I received that. And I'm still back there praying. I'm worshiping. Because I believe that God is moving on my behalf, and I believe that he's sitting there working on my situation, and I know that there's a breakthrough right there. I can feel it. It's almost there, right? So I'm going to keep going because I'm almost done. So we'll be done here in a little bit. But as I was sitting there and I continue to go through the process, and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to rush through it, honestly, is really what I was trying to do, because I felt as though if God wasn't moving in my life or if I wasn't getting that elevation, Lord, there must be something I'm doing wrong. That was what I looked at in the flesh, because that's how I was looking at that situation. And so the title of my lesson, as you guys remember, is While Waiting in the Valley. The things or the valley in which I'm referring to in this, or that God often refers to, is our day-to-day walks. The valley is everything that we fight on a day-to-day basis. God is the God of the hills and the valleys. It's like that song Sister Annette sings, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's a reason for that. Why would you think that God was saying his own word, as I walk through the valley of the shadows of death? Shadows of death. You did some research on shadows, didn't you? Or shadows of death? Haven't you done some? Do you know what shadows of death means? I don't remember it either. I'm just playing. No, a shadow is a creeping thing or a dark element or presence that tries to scare, or it's a figure, it's a dismembered figure that's there in a negative light, I guess you could say. That's why they call it a shadow, because it's like a casting member, or it's a figure or whatever, right? That was a good one. Oh, man. But as we're in the valleys, it's real easy for us to sit there and say, oh, Lord, I'm going through everything. Like Sister Stephanie said, I ain't gonna lie. Y'all been through a lot. The Murrays, you know, we'd have been with y'all, though, you know what I'm saying? Right out. Y'all my team. But in going through a lot, it's not easy. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad we could rejoice and listen and laugh and all of that. But for real, real talk, it's hard to go through a lot. And it's easier to go through it when you have a lot of people around you and people to support you. But the thing is, if the people who are around and are supporting are all in the flesh or looking at the things of the carnal, then the results are going to be the things of the carnal. So going back to my testimony and my story, I'm sitting here looking at everything in the carnal. I'm looking for the result for God or from God to be in the spirit, but in the flesh at the same time. It don't work like that because God can't. But God is not going to be trying to intermingle with the two because the spirit man is what comes first. So going forward, like I was saying, the valley represents our day-to-day walks and everything that it is that we go through on a day-to-day walk. The valley is when people are cussing us out. The valley is when people is upset with us or saying things about us. The valley is when people are coming against you. The valley is when people are saying that you're not or when people have came against the character in which God has spoken. But the thing is, the way that you get through the valley is when you fight with God and when you fight with the Spirit. Because God has already gone before us and he's already directed our path. He's already given us victory. But the thing is, when we go through the valleys, we're sitting here and we're like, oh, Lord, this is so difficult. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. And we stop and we stay stuck on what it is that we're going through or battling in the flesh, and we end up staying stuck there battling that battle in the flesh, and then we go on and we start talking and we start complaining and we start murmuring about everything that we're going through and all of these problems that we're having and everything is not right and this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and it's all of the flesh and of the carnal, and therefore God cannot edify or bring that situation to a difference, because therefore you're still looking for the change or the thing to be different in the physical, and God can't move on that behalf in that, because you're not trying to let him lead. You're not asking God, go before me and lead my path. Lord, I understand that there's people right now trying to destruct me, but you already have said that you would lay my enemies before me, dear Lord Jesus, as a stepping stone. So I thank you for putting my enemies in front of me, dear Lord Jesus, to get me to that next level. And this is the same thing that I was struggling with while I'm sitting there at work, because I'm sitting there and I'm upset about all of the things that are happening or not happening in my flesh and what it is that I can see or that I don't see my supervisor doing or that I can see him doing or not doing this, or not doing that. And I was easily quick to point out everything that it is that I seen that he wasn't doing, because I was easily looking at it in my flesh. And the moment that God started to change and to shift my mindset, my focus from the things of my flesh and the way that people were making me feel and the way that people were making me look or the way that people were saying things about me or the things that claiming that I'm not qualified. But the moment that I started fighting those things and learning that, okay, Lord, they said I'm not qualified, but through you I am qualified, because there is no one that can speak against what it is that you've already spoken in my life. There's nobody that could tell me I'm not great if you've already spoken greatness over my life. If you've already gone before me and told me I'm the head and not the tail, then there's no way I'm going to be at the tail and they're going to tell me that I'm going to be here forever. There's no way that they can tell me anything that's going to speak contrary or above what it is that you're saying in my life unless I allow it, agree it, or walk with what it is that they're saying in my life. So as we continue to walk, and you can stand up, as we continue to walk through these valleys and the things in which we're going through on a day-to-day basis in our lives, and we're sitting there and we're going through all of these tests and we're going through all of these trials and we're going through all of these situations, and life may seem like it's getting rough and everything may seem like it's not going your way, everything may seem like everybody's stacked against you, everybody may seem like they're not there for you, you may seem as though you're fighting alone or feel as though you're fighting alone or feel as though you have nobody to talk to or feel as though you have nobody to call on. You may not have a Bible study. You may not have a prayer partner. You may not have fellowship. But I promise you, in all of that, if you continue to go to and turn to God and seek his face, that he will pull you out of the situation in which you're in, and he will change your mindset and your perspective from the things of the flesh to the things of the spirit. He will change that carnal mind that you wake up and walk in daily. And the moment that you wake up and you continue to check yourself and continue to check your flesh and continue to submit yourself to the Lord and continue to submit your will to the Lord and continue to ask the Lord to go before you and to direct your path, then the more that you continue to seek him and ask him for direction, you're no longer going to have the carnal focus of, oh, my life is so hard. Because quickly you will shift from the focus of everything is going wrong and everything is so bad and everything is this to thank you, Lord, because you know what? If I didn't have this situation right now, I wouldn't be able to continue to go where it is that you're having me go. If it wasn't for this situation right here, Lord, I wouldn't be able to achieve that next level of greatness, Lord. If it wasn't for this situation that you have me in right here, Lord, then I wouldn't be able to take that next step that you need me to take. If it wasn't for this hurt that I'm experiencing now, Lord, then I wouldn't be able to have healing on the other end of it. But we have to lay down and be willing to lay down what it is of flesh in our carnal minds. We have to be willing to leave that in the valley of the flesh and continue to move on and fight in the valley with the Spirit and continue to let God move and go before us on our behalves in victory and victual in our situations. And so I'm going to say this, and this is going to be my conclusion. As I continue to go through all of these things at work and I continue to look at all of the things that my supervisors and people were saying about me, of how I'm not qualified, of all of the work that I haven't done, or the experience that I may not have, the things that I may not be able to do, or the knowledge of the property that I may not have, or the whatever they wanted to say. They could say it all, line it up, write a story about it. I don't care. Bring it. Because in the end of it all, I know that my God has called me to be a supervisor. I know that my God has called me to be a manager. I know that my God has called me to be a great man of God. I know that God is not done with the work that he's begun in my life. And I know that if I don't continue to look at things in the spirit or in the flesh and in the carnal mind, that I'm going to win the battle. But if I do continue to look at them in the carnal or the physical mind, then I'm going to be defeated before I can ever enter into the battle, because I'm trying to take the spirit into the things of God. And so I want to say in conclusion as a testimony, I know y'all was probably waiting on that part, but I recently had a supervisor who was let go. And in the beginning of him being let go, I'm going to tell you, it was upsetting. Because I said, Lord, I'm in Egypt again. You brought me out of Egypt, and I'm right back here again. Lord, why is that? For the land, whither thou goest into to possess it, is not as the land of Egypt, from whence thou came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year until the ending of the year, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you to this day, to love you, the Lord your God, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in the fields, that thy cattle, that they may eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn not aside and serve other gods and worship them. Mind you, yourself as a person can become a god in your own life. Okay. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless she perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. So I'm going to preface that in saying this. I'm thankful because this year and this time, in this situation, it's not the same Egypt that I was in once before. It's not the same situation I was in 6 months ago. I'm not the same person. I don't have the same perspective. I'm not looking at the things of the flesh or what it is that people have said about me or where it is that they plan to say about me, what it is that they think I'm qualified for, what it is they think I'm not qualified for. But that position is open and it's available. I have put my name and I have applied for it. And if it's the Lord... it's the Lord's will, it's my position. Because God has already said, I will become a supervisor, and nobody can take that, no matter if it's with this company or without this company. I'm going to be a supervisor. I'm going to continue to be a great man of God. I'm going to continue to move forward with the things in which God has called me to do in my life. I'm going to continue to go where it is he asked me to go with obedience, the best that I can. And when I fall short, I'm going to continue to get back up because I'm no better than anybody else, and I'm going to continue to get my my cross, and I'm going to continue to carry it. I'm not going to look at what it is people have said about me, what it is they're going to say to me, what it is they think about me, what it is they think I'm capable of or not capable of or whatever. I don't care. Write a story about it again, and then come back and try and tell me, because it's not lining up with God, then it ain't lining up with what's going to happen in JZL Deion Wissington Jesus' life, period, point blank. And in that, the conclusion of my sermon is happening. It's expensive.
Drop the mic right in here.
Sorry, I forgot to pray us out, yeah. If you could just all bow your heads with me. And even now, once again, God, I come before you right now, dear Lord Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for the lessons and the victuals in which you've given me, dear Lord Jesus, and the lesson that you've given this body, dear Lord Jesus. I pray, dear Lord, that we would, hearken to the words in which you gave us today, dear Lord Jesus. I pray that we would apply it and that we would practice it in our everyday lives, dear Lord Jesus. I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that we don't look at things that we go through in the valleys as carnal or flesh, dear Lord Jesus, but that we would see the spiritual and what it is that you're trying to do on our behalf, dear Lord Jesus. I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that we would look at the things that you have given us or placed in our lives and the direction in which you've placed us to go in, dear Lord Jesus. I pray that we would have the same vision in which you have with it, dear Lord Jesus, and that we would agree and line up with what it is that you're asking and wanting in our lives, dear Lord Jesus, and that we would stop trying to create the pin, dear Lord Jesus, or create the story, dear Lord Jesus, and create a different story or a different ending to what it is that you've already started, dear Lord Jesus. I pray that as we continue to go forward, dear Lord, that it's you and your spirit that get the credit, glory, and honor, dear Lord Jesus, and that we don't get anything from it, dear Lord. But I pray that we just continue to push forward to you, dear Lord, and seek your face and your will in our lives, dear Lord Jesus, and that you lead us as you have and continue to do. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you and I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.